Welcome to another episode of the Gay Barchive Show, where we explore gay history one bar at a time. I'm your host, Art Smith, and today we'll be speaking with Russell Mania, drag artist, celebrity impersonator, stand-up comic, and actor. He'll be telling us about his favorite bars from Orlando's past. Welcome, Russell.
Hey.
I'm kind of excited because of your history in Orlando to hear some of your memories of the gay bars from your past that have shut down and unfortunately no one will be able to ever visit again. So you mentioned as one of your favorite bars from the past in Orlando was the Loading Dock. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, the Loading Dock was part of a central bar system that was in off of OBT. It was right next to Days Inn, which we nicknamed Gays Inn, because if you had met somebody, there was a room next door, you know, if you even bothered to leave the bar property. It was a kind of a leather bar, let's say what it was. It was a sex bar. Okay, they had a back room where you could perform various sexual activities. People look the other way. It's pretty raunchy. I enjoyed it.
Now they build it as kind of a Levi leather type bar. It was part of, I think the complex was known as the 3400 Superplex.
Yeah.
Which apparently had multiple bars in it. And a lot of the specials they did there related to, I guess, manly men things. They had, beer busts in the middle of the week. They had a 5-card draw poker night, different types of things like that. And their ads, a lot of their ads had kind of sexually suggestive pictures of men or whatever in them. Now, this was strictly a bar for men, correct?
Yeah, they did not allow women there.
Okay. And if I'm not mistaken, when I was doing my research on some of Orlando's bars, it was actually owned by the same people who owned Parliament House at that time.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of the couple's name. Originally, they were a couple, and then I think they just remained business partners. But
I remember when I lived at the Parliament House, actually, for 2 years, and that's when Jim owned it. And because I was a working drag queen there as well. And, you haven't lived till you've spent a couple of years living on Parliament House property. I could just say that much. But some of the activities that the bars were doing in the 80s and 90s, you could not do now. And a lot of it was, 10-cent drink nights, 25-cent drink nights, other nights did. So every night of the week, there was drinks that were under a dollar somewhere.
Yeah, I remember those days well. That was pretty common all around the South. I know I had been to Tampa a couple times back then and to Orlando, and it seemed like every night of the week there was at least one bar you could go to and get cocktails for less than a quarter and get really trashed on just a few bucks. So,
yeah, Howard Avenue was one of those in Tampa, and then of course the notorious 2606. Oh my God, oh Lord, that's a whole conversation about what went on there. It's now Christoph's, so it's still there, but it's owned by a completely different person, and they've really made it nice. So, but it still has a little history.
Yeah, I'm aware of that history too. In fact, I was asked by the publisher of Watermark, Tom Dyer, back in the day, to write a feature article about the 2606 when they remodeled. And part of that remodeling was removing the upper part of the wall on between the two sides of the trough. So you could stand there and look to see the person across from you peeing. I'm very familiar with what 2606 was like. Now, the decor inside the loading dock, what was it like? Was it very kind of rough and tumble, industrial?
It was sort of industrial. It looked sort of like a He-Man straight bar. It had pool tables. It had a video store. And a sex store. The video store was actually a regular movie store. You could go run a movie. A lot of people don't remember that idea because I lived very close to it. My lover at the time, you know, I could always find him in the back room doing stuff. And the back room was just sort of like a big bench in the back. And people just sort of sat there in various poses of nudity. And just things went on there. I can't believe things, you know, actually things still go on at Hank's and Barcodes in Orlando. I mean, there's just, you know, it still happens. But not like that. And certainly not like 2606 was. Yeah, I christened in a pool table at Hank's. So, yeah, I was a pretty bad boy. I was in the leather club, and I also did drag, which in the 80s and 90s, that was just not common. Because the leather puppies did not like drag queens unless they wanted a fundraiser, and then all of a sudden we were their best friends. So, kind of. Anyway.
And if I'm not mistaken, wasn't Loading Dock actually built on a loading dock for an old dairy operation in Orlando?
Yeah, it was. It was the loading dock of the whole building that was that. And it's really cute because it sounds like a gay bar name anyway. But it was a fun place, but you didn't go there to get drunk and you didn't go there to play poker. You went there to get your dick sucked. That was just it.
Yeah, and there were a number of bars with similar names, either Loading Dock or Loading Zone around the country. That was kind of a common theme for those manly country western Levi leather type bars to have that kind of macho man name to it. In fact, I believe the very first logo that Loading Dock used was for the cab of a, like an 18 wheeler with their name on the side of it. I've seen that in a few of their old ads.
Yeah.
So do you remember when Loading Dock closed?
I know it closed when I still lived there. I think I'm going to say probably late 80s or early 90s. I'm probably guessing maybe 91. You know, because I moved away from Orlando, went back home to Columbus. Because Orlando, when you're a young kid and you're new at being gay, is a very dangerous city. Things can get ahead of you, and I had to go back home, regroup, and I came back because I hate winter. And you know, I live in Lakeland now, where it's a little calmer. And by the way, for everybody who doesn't know, Lakeland is the home of the oldest gay bar in Florida. And that is the Parrot. So,
which has also been known as Pulse and the Green Parrot and several other names in the past.
Yeah, I was show director of the Green Parrot back in the day. And it had a pretty raunchy past too in the 80s. I think everybody was just raunchy in the 80s. I remember our sheriff came back. I forget who it was at the time, but it wasn't Brady Judd that we have now. But the sheriff said, "I like having one gay bar in the county. I know where y'all are at." So I don't know exactly what that meant, but you know, and they kind of left us pretty much alone. But you know, back in the day, you know, even every bar I went to back in the day, the IDs and things were relaxed. And you know, there were kids that slipped in there, you know, and it is what it was. I mean, you know, and you know, and when I went through, there was four bars that had, I can't remember all of them. It was a long time ago, and I had a very bad drinking problem, obviously. You know, when you get, you're paying a quarter for a drink or 10 cent night. My drag name Tuesday night came from the Parliament House's 10 cent drink night. Cause I was always called, oh, here comes Miss Tuesday. So I changed the spelling and made it a drag name. And it kind of worked for me, but, people know, you know, there's this, you know, Wednesdays, I remember Southern Nights, and Thursday Parliament House was again quarter night. The only time is Friday and Saturday, you had to pay full price, and then Sunday was tea dances. And we don't have tea dances anymore, really, and those need to be brought back, because those were fun.
They certainly were.
Yes, they were fun. Now I think it's, I don't know, back then we didn't have Grindr. You just looked at somebody and said, yay, let's go, and that was that, you know. Now it's, you know, we never, growing up, like, you know, I'm 56, and growing up, I never knew what dating was. So, you know, relationships were new and scary.
Now, another bar that you mentioned that was also an important part of your past was the Full Moon Saloon. And it was also located on OBT. In fact, it was right next to the Parliament House, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was actually owned by the Parliament House. Along with that little hotel that was in front of it. And I lived in that little hotel briefly too. But Full Moon Saloon was just a whole bunch of raunchy, it was inside a trailer park. And it was just so, it was just raunchy. And they did allow lesbians in that bar though. I remember there was a controversy about it. I'm like, you know, okay, come on. You know, money's money. But it was just raunchy, all together raunchy. It didn't last long. I think that when the Parliament House felt it was taken away from their own Levi Leather Bar in their parking lot, in one of the rooms, actually, it was a very small bar at the time. When I lived there, I think they decided to close that because they were competing against themselves.
Yeah, and it was a little bit more like a rustic looking cabin almost design. It was like a little house, kind of looked like it should be out in the woods somewhere, but yet it was right on OBT next door to the Parliament House. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the trailer park, which later became a hotel that was attached to it, was called the Carolina Moon.
Yes. But there was a trailer park actually behind the bar.
Right.
Well, and the cabin was actually at one point the rental office. And when Parliament House bought the whole property, they decided to put a bar there.
Right. That's when they were going to build those vacation homes back there that never really kind of took off.
No, the Parliament House has always had a history of mismanaging money. That was always a problem there. Because you have so much of it, you know, because, you know, on the weekends, you could, if I didn't live there, I couldn't get in. It was that crowded at one point.
Now, I read one review from about 10 years ago about Full Moon Saloon, and they described it as a charming cross between a biker bar and a concert venue, with good-looking bartenders wearing either provocative dress or sexy lacking of clothes.
Yeah, pretty much it.
They had cheap well drinks, according to this review.
Very
and good. But they claim that they would try to scam you a little bit. And they said they will claim not to have well whiskey and charge you for Jack Daniels.
Yeah, unfortunately, they gave you well whiskey and charged you for the Jack Daniels. So one of the reasons why they kind of folded as well is that they kind of put cheap whiskey in Jack Daniel's bottles.
I see.
So, you know, and actually we've had a couple of those bars still do that to this day in the area. We won't name who they are. We'll just look at the party and whistle when we drive by them. But word around gets, you know, like when you order rum and coke, you want a real rum and coke. And some of them, we would even give you a wine-based one and not tell you it's wine-based. You know, that's a problem that's still happening today. But needless to say, that was one of their little scams, yeah. Because even though the apartment house owned it, there was a private owner that kind of leased it. So, and once the owners of the apartment house found out that was going on, they didn't like it. That may be another wise. It just sort of mysteriously shut down one day.
Now, one little tidbit of information that a lot of people probably don't know, and I don't know if you know this or not, but the Carolina Moon property, when it was originally established, actually took its name from the owner. In 1935, a man named Jonathan Moon purchased that 10-acre lot, and he named it the Carolina Moon after his own family name. So
that would make sense. I just never really, because I lived there about a year and then 2 years in room 118 in the main hotel. And I liked it because, you know what, it was like, you know, $45-$50 a week. And, you know, if you're single and you don't, you know, have much, it was a great place to be. Orlando's a great city because the public transportation system alone, you know, runs 24/7. I mean, you go to work and all that. And, you know, it was a fun place. I made some very bad choices back in those days, but I am who I am today because of them. So you live and learn.
Another thing a lot of people may not know is that at the time that the Carolina Moon was established and that the Parliament House opened, Rock Lake was actually one of the bigger tourist attractions in Orlando.
Yeah.
That was a place where people from around Central Florida would go on a weekend or for a day trip because it was, you know, this place to go in the middle of the state. And unfortunately, a couple years after Parliament House opened, Disney made his announcement and got the Disney thing going. And of course, now we know that everybody that thinks of Orlando thinks of amusement parks and theme parks and doesn't think of going to places like Rock Lake anymore.
Yeah. Well, maybe they do again, cause I just drove by it and it's completely like not even rubble there. It's just, you can actually see the lake from the road now, which is kind of eerie.
Now, Orlando, when it was open, the Full Moon Saloon billed themselves as Orlando's oldest gay-owned and operated bar. So apparently they were around for a while there. But Southern Nights has also been referred to as one of the first gay bars in Orlando, which kind of surprises me because I didn't think they existed till the 80s.
No, well, okay. Yeah. When I went there, it was always the higher end bar. It was higher priced, pretty much, except for the cheap nights. But it was actually the first full-fledged dance club that I went to when I moved there. And I went there, of course, with 25-cent drink night, and I was shy, and I was very introverted, and then I discovered alcohol made me less shy. And I'm like, you know, because you want to get laid, but you don't know how. You're kind of new at it, and you don't know how to approach people or whatever. And then you get the liquor in you, and all of a sudden you can dance good and people start talking to you because you're dancing. So, and I also had a nice that, and I really enjoyed being there for the longest time. And then, you know, you meet people and you start getting to clicks of friends, and then they brought me to the Parliament House, and I was like, I mean, you know, I'm a little guy from Ohio, and here's the Parliament House, and it's all, you know, so big and so, you know, massive. But I guess the Southern Nights did a good job putting on shows. I did perform there a lot. It was a fun place. The drinks were always good. They were strong. But they didn't tolerate it, a lot of crap. If you raised your voice to a bartender, you were removed. And that's the way it should be. You should, you know, people need to have some respect when you go in there. But yeah, it was fun. It was big, but it was small. But it was a lot of fun.
And the original Southern Nights, it was known for drag shows.
Yes.
And for, they had a special night called Lesbo a Go Go.
Yeah. I never attended it, but I heard.
Were you not a lesbian back then?
No, I was not a lesbian back then, but I played one on TV once. Lesbian bars, there was another lesbian bar off Edgewater, in Lee Road, that was right by Hank's, and I forget the name of it, it escaped me, but there was very few lesbian bars or lesbian nights, you know, and they felt pushed out by the gay men. So Southern Nights tried to tap in on that, and it worked for a while. Then that lesbian bar opened up on Lee Road, and I think that kind of took some of their thunder away. But I mean, that lesbian bar was right next door to, you know, right next door to Hank's. I really thought that was kind of funny.
And the original Southern Nights was located on Bumby.
It was close to a mall at the time. It was a weird mall because it was broken up into two parts and separated by Burdines. But a lot of drag queens got their clothes there because they had a Lily Rubin store in that mall. So they were used to us.
The lesbian bar you were thinking of, was that Faces?
I believe so.
So I know there was a lesbian bar named Faces in Orlando at one time.
I think it was that. There was another one too, but I think that was before my time, because I kind of did some research, you know, on that. But yeah, you know, it wasn't my favorite bar that I ever got to work in or be in. And the next one, Central Station, was my favorite.
So I'm kind of excited to hear about that one, because in all the research I've done looking for defunct gay bars around the country, and more specifically in Orlando, I have found zero information about Central Station. So let's start with when it was there.
It was then, it was only open maybe 2 years, if that. It was actually in Winter Park. It was set up to look like a train station. And it had two floors. And it had like, the theme obviously was, you know, trains. It even had a toy train that went around the top. It was a dance bar. It did drag shows. It was history because you know Devon.
Right.
Okay, I opened for her there.
Okay. So Devon performed at there. Central Station.
At Central Station, I was her opening act, and I got to meet her. I don't really, he didn't care, you know, what you called him. He was like, just, you make sure their check has got the name spelled right. he was such a genuine person, and it was such a thrill to meet him, you know, seeing Hairspray and Polyester, you know, Pink Flamingos especially. It was just that he was such a genuine person. It's his biggest life, and, you know, and also Taylor Dane. You remember Taylor Dane?
Yes, I do.
Yes, she opened for me. She was absolutely nobody. And she opened for me. And that was, she was so great. I loved her wig. And she goes, "Oh, honey, here, I have two." And she gave me one. So, I always loved that. But the drinks were really good. The bartenders were hot. Everybody was welcome. Everybody felt like they were welcome. And I think the bar wasn't there enough for people to start forming cliques, because bars are very clicky. Southern Nights was clicky. Part of my house is very clicky, but Part of my house was big enough and had different things where everybody still fit in different cliques. But this Central Station was just different. It was just like everybody's equal, everybody's welcome. Let's come in here, have a good time. Music was phenomenal, and you know, it had the same concept of, you know, how people would cruise the balconies at the Farmer House. Well, you would go upstairs and cruise, you know, on the top floor, and then people would be dancing on the bottom.
So the upstairs floor was kind of open to the view of the downstairs,
or the upstairs was open for people who wanted to not dance and talk. And they did have even little places where you could sit down.
Okay. It sounds like it must have been a somewhat of a significant bar if they were bringing in entertainment like Divine. And, you know, it's a two-story operation. It wasn't a little tiny hole in the wall. Were they giving the other bars in Orlando at that time a run for their money? Did they have an impact on the Parliament House crowd or Southern Nights or anybody else? Or
no, because they were in Winter Park. They were far away. What they were doing was providing people who did not want to travel all the way to Orlando. You know, and Winter Park isn't like miles. Well, it's, you know, it's 20, you know, to be 20 minutes away or so. It was giving them a new crowd.
And what time frame was this roughly?
I would say 88. 1988, and by 1989 it was gone. Because I just bars mysteriously disappeared. Like, you know, Columbus, Ohio bars just mysteriously disappeared overnight. It's like you were there that evening, and then tomorrow, it was gone. I mean, it just is amazing to me how that happens.
Well, the gay bar world was a lot different in the 70s and 80s than it is today. So, in some places, they were still very much frowned upon by the local residents. A lot of neighborhoods didn't want to have gay bars in their vicinity, or the adjoining business owners weren't crazy about it. And as you noticed with the first couple of bars we discussed, a lot of times they were in kind of industrial areas or blighted areas that other businesses didn't want to be in. So you could put it on a place like OBT in a warehouse type building, and you weren't really bothering anybody because nobody was there when the bar was open. It was, but
I remember actually there were about six or seven bars on OBT, up and down. Because I entered a talent show in one, it wasn't there a year. You know, these little bars would pop up, and then the bigger bars, like the Centralplex, was the biggest threat to the Parliament House. Because it was a bigger threat even than Southern Nights, because it was similar to what they were doing.
Now, was it at all fancy or elegant or kind of upscale on the interior, or was it just a very basic two-story gay bar?
It looked like a train station.
Okay, so they had a lot of memorabilia from train type things, railroad crossing signs on the wall, things like that.
It was really cute. I'm guessing it looked to me like an old steakhouse building that they refurbished.
Okay.
Because some of the older Ponderosas actually had a second floor. It was just a lot of fun, and it has a special place in my heart because it was a lot of fun.
You said you performed there as a drag queen?
Yes, I did Tuesday night.
And what kind of performances did you do at that time? Did you have a certain genre of music, or did you do? I know you do celebrity impersonations now, but did you do them then? Was it mimicking, you know, a female celebrity in drag, or was it more, you know, just your general drag?
I did do Bette Midler, but you know, it's like a resume 101 for a drag queen. You do Bette Midler or Cher or somebody like that. But I liked doing Bette Midler because she was ballsy. But for the most part, I would do older songs. Because I was never the one that was the prettiest one. And I kind of went with the old school because I cannot lip sync anybody. Okay. Even today. So, you know, and now I'm a stand up comic as well. And I'm even doing movies now. So it's kind of, you know, grabbing your past and then kind of wanting to change it and capitalizing on it. I did enjoy doing drag. I've done female drag over the years. I just don't enjoy it as much.
I noticed you also had a recent first just a couple of months ago, from what I understand, for the very first time in your 50 plus years walking this earth, you not only attended, but performed at a gay pride rally.
Yes, I did.
So you were on the stage at Tampa Pride.
Yes,
just a couple of months ago. What was that experience like?
Well, before I even got to the stage, when we're coming out of the parking lot, mind you, I'm dressed in full Elton John bling. From head to toe, except for my glasses, so I could see where I was going. News Channel 8 popped up and asked me if I was going to the festivities. Like, no, I'm just going to the bank, rest is all job. Okay. so he says, and I said, no, I'm an entertainer. I'll be performing today. He said, hold on. Would you like to be on TV? So I was on TV. I was on News Channel 8, which, by the way, made Sunday today, so I was nationally on TV.
All right, then.
So I'm like, you know, you could go home or go big, right? Or go big or go home. So, and I did that, plus I was on Channel 28, plus in Watermark again. So I got a lot of good press from it, and I got some bookings because of my TV appearance, because I didn't even realize the impact that being on TV would have in character. And I use it as my Facebook cover for a while because it said WrestleMania performer. And it's just, I felt like I was legitimate. There was some controversy in Tampa Pride because some performers felt that they needed to be paid for their performance. And I'm like, you know what? When you get nominated for a Grammy, the Grammy Award people are not going to pay you to perform it. It's an honor to be asked. And it was an honor for me to be up there with such other great entertainers. I enjoyed it. It was hot. But, you know, hey, and there are videos of it out there. Everybody was taking pictures of me. I did enjoy it. And my husband was with me. We've been together 31 years. So it was an awesome experience. I'm going back. I think I'm going to be in Orlando Pride, from what I gather, as well, because I have a show in Orlando now. It's like I feel like I'm back home, because I'm actually going to be in Orlando tonight at Grumpy's. I feel like I'm coming back home.
Now, with the Elton John gig at Tampa Pride, you obviously lip-synced. You didn't sing his songs for him. But is that pretty much the extent of your drag that you bring back now, is doing some, you know, male performer lip syncing, or do you still do some drag occasionally?
I will do some campy drag. I do You Can't Pray the Gay Away as like a school marm. I also do Cartman from South Park, so I'll do a little cosplay. I do an excellent Boy George as well that I had to put a lot of makeup on to do that. So I will do, hey, you know, if they're paying me, I'll do what they ask me to do. You know, what's really funny is now I just went to Melbourne and I was at a thrift store and never been to Melbourne in my life. And the clerks at the thrift store go, we know you, you're WrestleMania. So I'm like, you know, I'm starting to feel famous.
All right, then.
You know, I mean, they said you're going to be rich or famous. You know, I'd rather be famous. There's a lot less problems.
Well, you have to let me know and let our viewers know when you decide to start your WrestleMania fan club so they can, jump on the bandwagon and follow your career as you march yourself across stage and from one gay bar to the next and one pride to another.
I would tell you this. I get booked in a lot of straight bars. So I'm crossing the line a little bit because of the Elton John thing. It's like the Pink Piano. I just did a solo Elton John. I did like 5 songs. It was like a mini concert and it went very well. And so Pink Piano wants me to create more of what is called icons. I call the show Icons. And I know other people that do slide. There's somebody who does a fabulous Diana Ross. And so I want to kind of create that. I'm more in the later stages of my career. I really more want to be more of a producer and help other people open doors for people because somebody had to open the door for me. And it's time now that I start to give back even more than I have been.
Well, hopefully you'll be able to develop that show for the Icons theme. I know I interviewed a guy several months ago named Frank Marino. I'm sure you know who he is, who has done the Legend show in Las Vegas. And I believe it's the longest running show on the Strip, 37 years of doing Legends, female impersonation, male impersonation, on stage in some of the biggest venues on the Vegas Strip, and it's been very successful. So if you can pull that together locally, I think that would be a really big thing for the Central Florida area and possibly give you the opportunity to do some touring as well.
Yeah, well, I've been touring. I'm at the Copa frequently. I'm in Ocala, I'm in Orlando, I'm in St. Pete, I'm in Tampa. Me and my drag mom, Mama Savannah, Georgia, we gave Wiki Wachi their first drag show ever. So it's really a good thing. I never had so many selfies taken that day. I just show up at Elton John looking like that. And they want to take pictures. But it took me a long time to develop the look and the feel of it, because quite frankly, I was never that. I mean, I loved Elton John, but I never was that thrilled about his music. I put on a wig and a hat one day and a pair of funny glasses at the thrift store, and I was like, holy crap, I look like Elton John. I said, we got to do something with that, you know? And now I've embraced it. We all have something, I guess, we contribute.
Well, I wish you the best of luck with that. I happen to love Elton John. I've met him a few times, and he's always been a great character and an incredible performer. He puts all of his heart and soul into every performance he does, and you can really tell when you're sitting there, you know, 30 feet away from where he's playing the piano, you can just feel the energy coming out of him. So
I've never seen him in concert. I know he's coming to Tampa, but I can't afford it. But I would, you know, just love to see that, you know.
But what you should have had the opportunity to see, which of course is long gone, when the Hard Rock opened their new facility in Orlando, which I guess was what, in the late 90s, 98, the Hard Rock Live, their grand opening special event was by invitation only. And at the time, I was working for a national magazine as well as for Watermark, and I got an invitation to the event. So if you've been to the Hard Rock Live, you know what the theater is like in there. There were only about 350 people invited to this event, and Elton John was the performer. So if you could ever see a dynamic performance by someone like Elton in a small venue with only a few hundred other people, you really get to appreciate the magnitude. But his concerts are great, and if you ever do get the chance to go, I would definitely recommend it.
Yeah, I'd go dress like him. I would have a good time.
All right, then. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to tell us about some of the bars in Orlando, and wish you all the luck with your career. And that concludes another segment of the Gay Barchives podcast. You can find more podcasts at gaybarchives.com/podcast. We also have more information about this podcast and links to the other podcasts we have completed. We hope you enjoy your trip down memory lane.